I don't know. I hope. I did not hear otherwise. So this is Nancy Tosta, current chair of the Planning Commission. It is 6:02 p.m., and I'm going to call the Planning Commission meeting for January 15th, somewhat delayed this month, to order. And let's do a roll call.
Elena Hughes,
Colleen Thompson,
Tina Carlson,
Nick Benson.
I haven't heard anything from Daryl, so we'll see if he comes. Hopefully he does. So I put a firm chair and vice chair on the agenda because I wasn't exactly sure where we were in the process, but I think I have ascertained that Tina and Colleen were elected chair and vice chair in January of 2023. And then Tina stepped down in April of 2024, and you guys all elected me to fill out her term. So in theory, my term is up, and we should elect a chair and a vice chair, I think, just to be sort of formal about it. So.
And right now our vice chair is Colleen.
I think our vice chair is Colleen. Okay. Is that correct, Colleen?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think? That's funny.
Okay, so I'm open for nominations for chair.
Oh. Did we approve the agenda? Did I miss something?
Oh. No, we did not. You didn't miss something. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. This is Elena.
I'll second that, Tina.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. Whoops. I voted twice. Sorry. Okay. Moving on, affirm the chair and the vice chair.
So can I make an emotion, or do we make a motion? Is that how we do it? So make a motion that Nancy, you continue on with being the chair.
I'll second that.
Any other nominations or volunteers?
I think it matters, like, for the record, instead of saying continue, when you say,
start a term.
Yeah, like, this will start.
Because that's what I was just going to say too. Yeah. After that was, then you'll start your own 2 year,
term.
Yeah,
I would start her 2 years. So maybe. Yeah.
So that's
change
not.
Change that to not say continue, but
affirm. Can I just say I? Oh well, that's not going to work either. I make a motion that we.
You could just do it. I know we're not on right now, but you could just do it, like, and make a motion to nominate Nancy Tosta as chair.
Okay, let's withdraw the motion you Thanks. Put on the table.
Okay.
So everybody comfortable with withdrawing that motion?
You just asked Tina. Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Tina, keep us honest on Zoom, okay?
Say it again.
Okay, so I can just make the motion. Okay, so the other motion's withdrawn. This is Elaine. I make a motion to nominate Nancy Tosta as the Planning Commission chair.
I'll second that, Colleen Thompson.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
All right. And for vice chair, we have any volunteers or nominees?
Zelena again. I make a motion to nominate Colleen Thompson as vice chair, if she would like it.
I second it.
Any further discussion? All right. The motion is, am I supposed to repeat the motion, Jessica? Okay. Yeah. The motion is for Colleen Thompson to serve as vice chair for the next 2 years. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Colleen, you're going to vote for yourself?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Not two agenda items. Did I not put... did I miss... Oh, no, there's public comments. Okay, sorry. Open public meetings training. Somebody wants to be admitted on Zoom up there. All right, this is you, Jessica. This is item number 4 on our agenda. And we're going to try to do our open public meetings training all together now.
There it goes. It's a bit...
Oh no, it's gone. There's just no sound.
Oh,
the sound on your computer.
It's up all the way. The sound should go through perfectly fine. It's probably here, Tina.
Use subtitles.
Oh yeah, they have subtitles.
A nice peaceful video.
Yeah. How did they say much more than they played?
You have the sound from your machine.
Yeah, it's this when they like bring this up so it's full volume.
Yeah, so sometimes Zoom is probably overriding it.
Sorry, for those on Zoom, Jessica did. For those on Zoom, Jessica is struggling with getting the sound to play on the video.
Tina?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Is there anybody else who's...
We can't hear her, it sounds like.
Tina, you have a question?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh. Okay, now we can't hear you, okay. Tina.
About now, Tina.
Oh, I was just wondering if it, you need to turn me off, that's fine, to get the sound. I'm okay with that.
I wish, but that didn't really seem to help.
Has anybody else done the training online?
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you have, it like legally has to happen in the meeting.
Okay, great. Okay.
Can we just, maybe can we just stop the Zoom? Aaron, are you on right now?
Yeah.
If I gave you the link, could you try and bring it up on your computer and see, like, last week with Lacey, it worked up perfectly fine from her?
Sure.
Like, from my side?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going
to send how are you going to send it to me?
Let me just send it to you in the chat of the Zoom.
Perfect.
And maybe can we postpone this item, and then when she has it ready, or do you want to wait? And give her the time because she'll have to log in.
We could move them a few minutes.
Yeah, is that okay?
Like, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How to like move one.
All right, and let the record show that Daryl is now present. Okay, we are going to move on to agenda item 5, conflict of interest disclosure. Anybody have conflict of interest on any items on the agenda? All right. Meeting minutes from the 12th of December, 2024. These were AI generated. Lacey did them. I thought they turned out pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any comments or changes in them? Okay. If not, can I have a motion?
I move to approve the minutes for December 12th, 2024.
Is there a second?
I'll second that, Colleen Thompson.
Okay, the motion was made by Tina, seconded by Colleen to approve the meeting minutes from December 12th, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm going to abstain just because I wasn't there.
Aye. Okay. That's right. Nick is no longer a voting member now that we have a full complement of commissioners. Thank you for your service, Nick. Staff reports. Do we have anything from Jessica?
Just a reminder that if you didn't see the email, if you will please do your yearly trainings, your open and public meeting, and then I can't remember the title of the other one, but it has the grandma and your conflict of interest. I'll have everyone sign those, but online. So if you actually go on to the auditor one, but the reason we have you do the other training, it's not all applicable to planning commission, but it does include the grandma and then the conflict of interest. That used to be a separate training and they put it in that one. So you'll need to complete both of those trainings. At the end of it, it'll give you a certificate and you can either print them off and bring them in, or you can also email them over. So, and they have to be done by the end of this month.
Did that email come from you or from Judy or?
Me, town clerk.
Okay. Thank you.
You're making me nervous. Did any of you get that?
I've seen it.
Okay. I was like, oh, great. I don't know.
I think I've seen it.
I did send it in a big group. It's Planning Commission, Town Council, Board of it. I sent it to everyone because everyone has to do it. So if you didn't receive it, let me know.
How about could you resend it?
Yep.
Like tomorrow morning?
Yes.
I definitely forward do that. It again.
And it'll be in that folder.
Okay. How are you doing, Erin?
Good. Can I go ahead and try it now?
Yes, we'll move on. So we are going back to agenda item 4.
Is there sound coming through?
So what is the Open and Public Meetings Act?
Yes.
It's the state law that ensures government actions and deliberations are openly conducted. Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview and exceptions may exist based on your entity. We focus on local government, not state requirements. When in doubt, read the law and consult with your legal counsel. So what's considered an open and public meeting? It's when a public body quorum, also known as a simple majority, meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open and public meetings. Open and public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open and public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget, imposes or increases taxes or fees, or transfers money from an enterprise fund. These meetings have extra notice and posting requirements and won't be addressed in this video. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone or the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or ordinance allowing and governing electronic meetings. OTMA adds additional requirements too. An emergency meeting may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold the meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered, An attempt is made to contact all governing body members, and the governing body majority approves the meeting. An open and public meeting may be closed to discuss any of the following: person's character, competence, or health, collective bargaining, litigation, certain real property transactions, including any form of a water right or water shares with specific restrictions, security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information per the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. A closed meeting may be held only if a quorum is present and the meeting was properly noticed. Two-thirds of the governing body present at the meeting need to vote yes to close a meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members present at the meeting. If 3 out of 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal or greater than 66.7%, which means you're 1 member short and would need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body can't interview someone applying to fill an elected position, discuss filling a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, discuss the character, competence, or health of a person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, approve any ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment, or take a vote, unless it's a vote on a motion to end the closed portion of the meeting and return to an open meeting. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting at which the closed meeting was approved: the reason or reasons for holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body either for or against the motion to close the meeting. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, or several other exceptions, mostly related to state bodies or project entities, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made, which includes date, time, and place of the meeting, names of members present and absent, and names of all others, except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. Regular open and public meetings require 24 hours notice. The public notice includes the meeting agenda, date, time, and place. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item in the meeting agenda. The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda. If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Additionally, entities holding regular meetings scheduled in advance over the course of the year need to provide annual notice of the entire year's meeting schedule. The notice must include date, time, and place for each meeting.
Notice is posted on the public body's website, in a public location such as the location where the meeting will be held, and on Utah's public notice website in accordance with Utah Code 63G-30-102.
Did you know that Amazon has a $15 million
notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk? However, it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided. State Archives has prepared a training manual and a guide for owners and posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website, archives.utah.gov. Written minutes and a recording are kept of all open meetings, with few exceptions. Written minutes include the date, time, and place of the meeting, the names of members present and absent, the substance of all matters, names of citizens providing comments, the substance of the comments provided, any information a body member requests be entered into the minutes or recording, and a record by individual member of each vote taken. A body with elected members must record each vote in list format by category for each action taken by a member, including yes votes, no votes, and absent members next to each member's name. A recording must be a complete and unedited record of all open portions of the meeting from beginning to end, and be labeled with the meeting date, time, and place. All or any part of an open meeting may be independently recorded by any person in attendance if the recording does not interfere with the conduct of the meeting. Pending minutes means written minutes of an open meeting in draft form, subject to change before being approved by the public body of the open meeting. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication, such as a draft or pending watermark, that the governing body hasn't yet approved the minutes and that the minutes are subject to change until the public body approves them. Approved minutes means written minutes of an open meeting approved by the public body that held the open meeting. Entities must establish and implement procedures for the public body's approval of written minutes. Public meeting pending minutes, approved minutes, and recordings are public records under GRAMA. Any individual who publicly presents information relating to an item on the public body's meeting agenda must provide a copy of the information for inclusion in the public record. Make pending minutes available to the public within 30 days. Within 3 business days after approving written minutes of an open meeting, make approved minutes and any public materials available at the Utah Public Notice website, the entity's primary office, and the entity's website. In 3 business days after holding an open meeting, make an audio recording of the open meeting available to the public for listening.
Okay, check that requirement. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks, Jessica. Moving on, agenda item 7, staff reports. Jessica, you said you had nothing. Aaron, do you have any staff report?
I do not have any staff report, and my question was going to be what I think Jessica already sent us to make sure I've got everything I'm supposed to do. So the email is it, right, for this month? Okay. Great.
Just in this moment, we send it out.
Okay, okay, thank you.
If you didn't get it, please tell me.
Okay. All right. TCPC liaison report. John, this is item number 7, number 8 on the agenda.
Okay, John Varanth here. Several things. First, welcome, Nick. Thank you for stepping up to serve, and for Colleen for your many years of service, and for everyone else who I hope will stick it in as long as Colleen has. One of them that you have is a request to consider rescheduling your meetings, your monthly meeting, so that there would be a full 2 weeks between the town council meeting and the planning meeting. I think that would be very helpful, and especially if urgent business comes up, so that it can get transmitted to the planning commission, distributed, and there's time to consider it before the meeting. I really want to avoid any repeat of the awkward situation we had with the temporary RSTR ordinance, where the planning commission hearing notice had to be posted before the town council had actually discussed the item. But that was what we had to do to meet the 10 days when it was only a week between the meetings. The Planning Commission has a really important role to play in any land use ordinance change, and the current scheduling is not very efficient for two-way communication. Along that line, I'd just like to remark that I'd like to thank everyone who assisted in moving the temporary RSTR ordinance through quickly. In 1 month, we basically got a legislative solution to a problem that the staff had called to our attention. So, it was really a good job to show that we could get something done that quickly. Housing is always my issue. We need to really have some discussion at town council and then provide some requests for action or feedback to the planning commission. It's been over 2 years since we had the housing workshop in the November of 22. And, you know, we need to do something to look at increasing the supply of affordable rentals and lots that locals can buy. The subdivision ordinance and the lot averaging made small steps in that direction, but I think we really need to do more in terms of providing some good quality housing. The RSTR, again, The some draft documents were included in your packet that you probably had a chance to look at. They haven't been discussed in detail by the town council, but I have had private conversations, and I think that they are pretty close to what the consensus will be if we review them. But in a way, the delay is helpful, because if you guys have comments, questions, feedback, reactions to what's in that document tonight, I can bring that back to the town council. So the issue with tourist rentals is very complex. I wish I had a solution. I don't think there is a good solution, because we're balancing some very important rights: the rights of local people to have to income, the rights of neighbors to have peace and quiet in their neighborhood, the desire to preserve housing for long-term occupancy. So there are, and anytime you have to do balancing like that, you never having a perfect solution. You can only do the best you can and not be afraid of the possible unintended consequences. So there's going to be a very important role with the Planning Commission in terms of formulating alternatives and getting community input from both ordinary citizens, neighbors, but also from the stakeholders in this process. General plan. This is the most important statutory duty that the Planning Commission has, is the general plan. And when you look at state laws, the LUDMA part four, it's 18 pages now of state law regarding general plan. A lot of it is only pertains to big cities. I don't think we have to have a transit station special zoning like Salt Lake and Sandy do, but there's a lot that does apply to us direct by law, and a lot of things that aspirationally should apply to us, even if it's not mandatory, like affordable housing plans. So it's a lot to go through. I think the fundamental question that has to be answered is the scope of this next revision. Are we talking about just a minor tweak to a few things in the current general plan, or some real substantial changes where the 10 overarching objectives and the community-wide zoning map are revisited? If you want to go that way, I think that's something that should be done with the assistance of experts, including planning consultants, meeting facilitators, survey states, takers, professional support for GIS-based mapping. That costs money. I'm the town council person who is assigned the job of grant applications. There is grant money available to assist communities, especially rural gateway communities, in general plan development. But that would require the cycle of applying for the money, getting the money, getting the consultants hired. If you want to go that way, you've got my support in going after some money to support it. Personally, I think almost everything that I've heard people talk about is consistent with the objectives we've already got in the general plan. It's really in the details of, you know, the specific how do we implement it, in which case we don't need a massive community process, which was what the town has gone through in the past at a couple occasions, but rather just focusing on what are their immediate friction points. So that's your input. But if you want me to pursue grants, I'll help you. The other thing I've had, whether it's writing a general plan or writing an ordinance or writing the scope of work for a private project or designing a house, I think the important thing is to first, you know, figure out what's your scope of work, what questions are you tackling, and equally, what things are you deferring to later. And then also, I think it's very important to make sure that early on in the process, all the feasible alternatives are put on the table, if only to say, well, no, that's not what we want. Although it's not perfect, the federal EIS process is a good model, where it starts with scoping meetings, goes into a formulation of alternatives, and then you go into the detailed analysis of the alternatives and so forth. But I've often seen, this was more from my engineering experience, people getting off, getting totally bogged down in the details on one approach without realizing there was a completely better, different approach available. But there's so in the Steve Covey seminar, he talks about having seminars and most efficient use of the machete to chop through the jungle vines when you don't realize there's a road right behind you. So, you know, we do want to make sure that early on alternatives are fed into the process. So that's what I have for tonight as liaison.
Great. Thanks, John.
Okay.
I think we have most of those topics on the agenda tonight. So,
and I would like to move into the public when you, I could sit up here when you're ready to move into public comment. I have a public comment, different role.
Okay. Any clarifying questions for John?
I'm curious, when you say you can apply for a grant for help with the general plan, do you know what type of help is out there? Like, what would that look like, someone helping us with our general plan?
Well, Nancy and I both looked at, it's what GNAR, it's the Gateway Communities Program, which is some mix of state agency and Southern Utah University planning people, as an example. There are grants available through five counties for planning. So there are a number of different programs, but generally they all fall into the same thing of giving small towns access to the kinds of resources that we couldn't otherwise afford. Generating maps like this costs money. You know, if you look at our existing general plan, those maps were prepared, I think, by Five Counties Association of Governments. You remember, Colleen, how long ago it was? It's been like 20 years, I think, for those maps of the septic suitability and the slope angles. And
I think it was 2017.
Ah, thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Dana. Thank you. 2017. So, and maybe, Dana, could you relate to the process then of how we got help from five counties?
No, not at this point.
Are you talking about the maps that were in the rural Utah? Were those maps taken from the rural Utah book that we had?
From the community, they came, yeah. I think, from the community assessment, and then they moved into the general.
So let's.
Yeah, then we put, yeah, then we, because they were, so it came from,
yeah,
rural Utah. And so they, I mean, you know, that whole process was, Carla got them. Carla is the one that helped us find this at the time. And I think we jumped on the end of the bandwagon is why they did Boulder too, rural Utah.
So let's have the discussion when we talk about the general plan about what we think we need. And then we can direct John to go find the resources for us to do it. Okay. Let's move on to public comment, agenda item number 9.
Okay. Timer's on, 3 minutes. As you might be aware, there's a proposal that has come from Garfield County to rename the Burr Trail. I would urge everyone not to let this divide the community. We need to accept that certain persons have been elected and work constructively within the system. And I want to thank Commissioner Jerry Taylor for agreeing to come to Boulder next Tuesday, January 21st, for a listening session on this proposal. What I personally urge is that we get away from the personalities and the name and focus on the substantive issues. One is history and local culture. The Burr Trail was designated as a scenic byway through community support and honors John Atlantic Burr, a cattleman. Public safety, calling the Burr Trail a highway, will mislead tourists and lead to emergency calls because no one expects primitive conditions such as the Burr Trail switchbacks if they're traveling on a, quote, highway. And also visitor experience, because a back way encourages slow travel and exploration, not a shortcut. I respect the right of the county commission as elected officials to honor whoever they choose, but there are plenty of other places and opportunities that can be proposed for honorary renaming. So I hope everyone participates in that process constructively.
Thank you, John. Any other public comments? Anybody on Zoom? Okay. So we'll move on. Substance of our meeting. A really exciting first topic, our Planning Commission bylaws. We've actually talked about this for a year and a half, maybe, but have never put forth a proposal. So I drafted something that was based on cutting and pasting what many other planning commissions have done in the state. It's ironic that planning commissions are required to have rules of order and procedure or bylaws. Town councils aren't. So it's, you know, something that we will operate under. The intent is that they be helpful. So, you know, gives us some guidance on how we run our meetings, who's on the meetings, the timing for agendas and such things. So you're going to be able to keep your battery, Jessica. Oh, no. Okay, so could you make it a little bit bigger? So I put out a draft last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know that any of you looked at it. I know you looked at it today, Lane, and made some comments, and I assume they're in here in this same draft. And then I had some feedback from John, made some suggestions. So you'll see those, and because I'm the author of it, when I try to make changes, it just makes them and doesn't point out where they've been made. So I went through and highlighted in red where I was adding things. Some things I deleted, which you won't see because there is no cross-out function in Google Docs, as near as I can tell. There is. Okay, you'll have to show me where it is. Do we need to get... Because this is pretty critical. Do we need another computer?
Someone else who has a computer has to have an HDMI cord.
I don't.
I think mine does too.
Yeah. One's offering their computer.
So let's see what you all want to do with this. Have most of you read this?
I mean,
looked at it, and you know, some of you made comments. So we could go through and look at the comments, changes I made, changes any of the rest of you made. If we're all okay with it, I would love to just sort of get this done, not spend numerous meetings talking about it. I mean, if we're comfortable with it, then we would forward it as a resolution to the town council, and they have to review them. And I guess they adopt them on behalf of the Planning Commission. I think that's the way it works. so, and I do have some draft resolution language written up that we can share if we get to that point tonight. So, but let's let Jessica. Okay, I'll keep talking. So
can I ask a question? We've been talking about bylaws for a while, but it seems like we haven't really talked a lot about them, just because the subdivision ordinance and whatever. I know it's been brought up. So where does this go? Where do the bylaws go? And is this administrative?
It's administrative.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it outlines, you know, our authority, who's on.
But what I'm saying is, where does it go? Like, I'm not, like, where does this?
Yeah, I think.
Whole pages go? Does it go into our, what'd you say?
Does it go? I don't.
You don't have to. Just if you look at other people's, like who other towns, American Legal isn't just for the ordinances, they'll have their bylaws, they'll have procedures. So it just depends on.
I'm just wondering, you know, like if somebody wanted to look up the bylaws once we adopt this, because I just don't know that much about bylaws. We've never had them before, as you well know, you know. And so that's my question, basically, is if somebody wants to look up the bylaws, where are they? Where will they go?
Why couldn't we just put them as under our documents?
I was wondering. So it would go under documents, basically, that we now have bylaws.
Right.
Okay.
And I should have said the last few pages don't need to be part of the bylaws. I put those in there just for your reference, so you didn't have to go look up those codes.
And what do you mean as far as the last few pages?
Maybe she'll get to it. What, the code, the actual code. So this stuff, the Boulder Town Planning Commission, 153.042, and then above it is the Utah State Code that basically says what planning commissions have to do, having guidelines. So I just gave you that for background. So
the actual bylaws are only pages 1 through 5.
Right. Okay. So I would say we take them off. I mean, it was just reference material.
Right.
We take them off when we adopt the bylaws. Okay, so let's go back up to the top. Are you clear now, Colleen? Does that work?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I could just walk through my comments to start if you want. They should be quick.
Yeah, well, let's just walk through page by page. The there aren't thing? That many. Okay. I'm not going to stop and read all of these, so I'm assuming you've all read them and are comfortable with them. So let's go to the places where either Elena has made comments or there's red text. So if you can scroll down a little bit, Jessica. Okay.
Okay, so my first comment was on this part saying a newly appointed member may not participate in a public meeting as an appointed member until the member completes the training as required by Utah code and meets with the supporting staff, da, 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 da. That part is in the state code, but it's under the section that doesn't apply to towns our size, so we don't have to do that if we don't want to. I think it might be easier to not do it just because, you know, it could take a little while for the person to do the trainings or get with the clerk or whatever. We might want them available at the next meeting, and one or two meetings without the trainings is probably just fine. So I would take that out personally, since we don't need to. And I would definitely take out the sentence that says failure to comply with this provision may result in removal of the member from the commission. Feels like overkill to me, and it feels like in the state code, again, the same section that we're not required to do, but it feels like in the state code, it kind of makes it like the staff is responsible for getting the planning commissioners up to speed when they join. And so like Nick, for example, being new, if no one told him to do the training and he didn't do it and then can be removed, that just seems, I don't like that personally.
Okay. You're right. The state law designates levels of cities, and we're not even designated a certain level because we're so small. So I don't have an issue with saying they have to complete the training before participating in the meeting. I actually like the idea of having a new member review the bylaws and the general plan as they come on board, just to be sort of up to speed with, you know, what it is that's going on here in Boulder.
Yeah. So I like it too. I just don't know if I think they shouldn't be able to participate in a meeting before they've done it.
Yes.
It's Michael Wynn here. I'm sort of in agreement there with Elena. I think maybe you should consider striking everything after that first sentence. I mean, it's the ceiling versus floor discussion. Why would we straddle ourselves with additional requirements that aren't required by state code? We can always aspire to those goals or those achievements, but yet if we're not required to, then why make it part of our bylaws? So I don't know if Elena's going that big, but that's where I would just cut off everything that's required by state code.
Okay, so end the, have the first sentence. Planning commissioners shall obtain training as required by Utah State Code, period.
Yeah.
And then delete, a newly appointed member may not participate, da-da-da-da-da-da.
And restart it after the initial training requirement.
No, just I was saying right. Just cut the entirety of that remaining paragraph after the requirements. In fact, you don't even have to cite the section, just as required by state law.
Yeah, I actually like keeping the, you know, we're encouraged to seek additional training. I mean, I, you know, in my limited time on the Planning Commission, going to the Utah League of Cities and Towns training conferences, I mean, I think this is something good for planning commissioners to get up to speed. It says they're encouraged. So I'd be okay keeping that last sentence.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with the encouraging folks to attain additional training, but I just wonder if you really want to make that part of your bylaws. I mean, we all aspire to do additional training, but rather be told to have to do it is another thing. And I'm not disagreeing with the reasoning as to why. I just don't think it needs to be part of these bylaws.
Okay. Well, nobody's being told they have to do it. They're being encouraged.
Daryl and Colleen, what do you guys think?
Yeah, what are your reactions?
I'd be happy with just the first sentence. You know, training, planning commissioners shall obtain training as required by Utah State Code. I'd be happy with that myself personally.
Okay, Daryl?
It's interesting, I guess, because I have been here for so long. I can't think of anybody that never did some kind of training, or especially when it was more available where we actually went to different trainings before COVID. You know, we always had plenty of people that wanted to go, and they were much more available, you know, as far as that goes. And okay. I think for yourself personally, you're not going to want to come to these meetings and not know what's going on. I think most of us, anyway, that's, I don't
okay.
know. I'd be happy with just the first sentence myself.
Okay, Daryl.
I agree with Elena and Michael's comments that establishing a floor is far better than an aspirational ceiling. That and we can have goals amongst ourselves, but actually putting it in the bylaws is just, I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Tina?
I see the bylaws as a guideline for us and on how we actually do our business. And so I think, you know, if anyone is becoming a member of the Planning Commission and they read through the bylaws, then if the training that is encouraged is actually stated, then there's a better understanding of what their position would be. But I suppose we could all say, new member, Nick, you're going to have to do some, we encourage you to do, you know, read the general plan and whatever. But I just feel that, you know, part of the bylaws is to actually state like how what as a planning commissioners we are going to actually follow. But I'm okay either way. We can vote on getting rid of it if that's the motion.
All right. Well, I'm sensing a majority here that would just delete the rest of the paragraph. So.
Okay. Good.
Do I have a motion? Let's see. Yeah, do I have a motion to do that?
Can we just get rid of it? I mean, this isn't something that, I mean, we're just looking
at
this.
I guess it's a draft.
Yeah, probably
it's a
can do it
draft.
Without.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we just strike it?
We can strike it. So Jessica, do you want me to?
Elena.
Yeah.
You know, I can log in here and do this.
Elena's on it too right now.
Yeah, I can do it. There we go. Stricken.
Okay. I can actually do it so it disappears.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Mine's a suggestion. Yours is real.
So let's see.
And I like keeping the code number because then, like today, I used that to go look at it and it helped me find it easily.
Okay. Let's see if this works.
Do you have an HDMI and two USB ports?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do, outside of the bylaws, like the idea of the town staff kind of bringing new members up to speed. And I wonder if there's another place we could put that, like in there.
We could put an orientation or something in here.
Yeah.
That new planning commissioners will,
I mean, I think that's
have an orientation.
What's interesting is that we don't have any kind of an orientation at all.
Yeah.
And I've watched same thing, watched a lot of people come in and they just kind of start off, you know.
Right.
But yeah. I guess I'm wondering if there's like a document, and maybe there's not, but if there's like a document sort of like, does Jess have her version of town clerk bylaws, and could we add it to that, that she trains the, you know what I mean? Like, do you have like a list of duties?
No, there's nothing.
It's great that you're doing this because the town doesn't have any of these.
Yeah.
And it should. And it makes it very hard for anyone to come
to know what's what. Yeah.
Like, even in the sense, like, there's nothing. It was funny that you said this. There's nothing that tells me to tell Nick what to do.
Right.
That's, I just hope that I have the right information and that, but it's not
anywhere. Yeah.
So, well, yes, the fact that you guys are doing this, the town council has asked that we do this, each one of us. And so,
okay.
So, the other thing that happened too was we didn't used to have an alternate. We didn't have an alternate at the beginning. It was one of those things where we ran into this situation one year where there just seemed to be a lot of people missing. During the meetings for unexpected reasons, and we didn't have anybody to fill in. So once we got the alternate, then the alternate started coming to the meetings, which, and that whole process of the alternate spending almost a year coming to the meetings as an alternate was huge, as far as that's another way
it's
that
like training
were,
in and of itself.
Training,
yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, I'm adding a sentence here under, or so I changed it to orientation and training. Planning commissioners shall obtain training as required by Utah State Code. Support staff and the planning commission chair will provide an orientation session. Orientation for all new commissioners, commission members, to
including the alternate, maybe
review these bylaws and the town's general plan. I mean,
yeah.
Well, then it's not just the general plan, it's the whole, I mean, it's the zoning. I mean, you really should, I mean, you know, as far as the zoning ordinance, the subdivision ordinance.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a big job,
but it doesn't take
that long, that's true.
I mean, to even just read through it. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you look at ours, aren't that, it's not that big.
I know, I guess that's sometimes my reaction to when we're encouraged to do trainings. I'm like, we should have, I don't know who would do them, but I'm like, we should have trainings on our own ordinances, because half the time things come up and we don't realize that we're in there. Or
we learn by doing, right?
Yeah.
By trying to change them. Okay. Does that work?
So we'll provide, not, you could get rid of that and, or, well, we'll provide orientation for all new commission members or and whatever. Yeah. I guess you could leave that in.
Do I have an extra word in there?
Just that and, but I think it's fine being in there too. We'll
just
provide
an orientation,
or we'll provide orientation.
Oh, and we'll provide.
And,
you don't like
it. Hey, Nancy?
Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
It's Michael. Maybe change will to may.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
okay.
idea.
I mean, regardless, the planning, the new planning commissioners are going to be held to the bylaws, the ordinances, and to the state code, whether they've been commanded to review it or not. I really feel like this language is superfluous to what you've already been required to understand about your duties as a commissioner. So these bylaws will govern how these meetings proceed. The ordinance will govern land use. The code will govern, you know, your duties. You're tasked with knowing that anyway, regardless if it's in our bylaws. So I just don't want to put any language that is going to be used to measure us when we make a mistake as to why weren't we properly trained, it's in your bylaws, and have that be used against us as evidence that we didn't comply with our training, that we set forth for ourselves for no reason. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? At some point, somebody's going to use this to say, hey, we thought you were properly trained in the following ways, and you made a mistake that you wouldn't have made had you attended the training. That's going to cause us some liability issues. And I'm just thinking like a lawyer here, but I just hate creating new rules that we have to abide by for no reason.
Yeah, I thought we were just going to use that first sentence, like orientation and training. I thought we were just going to use that first sentence. Planning commission.
But I do want to add everything. All this is great. I don't want to take away from the momentum of the group. I just want to remind what we're going to be, what that this will be used to measure our performance when and if we make a mistake.
But I thought that's what we agreed on, was that we were just going to use that first sentence.
I think the majority felt that saying something about orienting new planning commission members was a reasonable thing to say would be done. Because as you said, we tend not to do it, and it would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, because even though we're held to the bylaws,
we didn't do it.
You said that there's not typically an orientation.
Well, the interesting thing about it is there isn't any orientation at all. There never has been. I think I was just making a point. What we did basically was created the alternate. And so the alternate, and in doing that, it created a different situation because you are an alternate too. So even if you...
Yeah, but it's not required to be an alternate first. It happens to be that, and recently it's been that way a bunch, but like we had an alternate when I came on, John and I, and neither of us were, we were both appointed at the same time. And then Shelley was the alternate at the same time. And I got here and was like, you know, like I would have appreciated a wee orientation.
So it says may, it doesn't say you have to do it. So if you don't do it, nobody's going to spank you.
I guess the thing is too, is if you put the may in there, if somebody feels like they need somebody,
they can ask for it.
They can ask for it. So I would go, I guess I would go with that.
Okay. Attendance.
Okay, will you all, so I think I'm ready and I have to, Aaron has now control over this, so I shouldn't lose the feed, but I need to change over all this. So I just need the 2 second timeout.
Okay. We are taking a timeout. We could take a 2 second break. We are taking a 5 minute break, a 5 minute recess. Yeah, I didn't want to say adjourn.
So Jess, do you want me to get on that Google Doc and share?
No, I think it's okay for right this second. I'm going to take back over the host once I get it. So just give me a second. I'm going to end this one. You shouldn't notice what I'm doing and hoping. So just give me a second.
Okay, how about now? Can you hear?
I can hear you. I can see you. Computer.
Lovely. Tina, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, but I can't hear you. Why? Why is this so hard? Anything? She did. I saw her mouth move.
Ready?
No. Okay, Tina, what about now?
I can hear you.
I can't hear you. What about now?
I can hear you.
Oh, and I can hear you. Give me 1 second. I don't know why the video is not going through the echo or the owl emit, but that's the least of my concerns if I can capture the rest of all this.
I could log into Zoom and do the
I think I have it.
Video.
Well, is this because it's still open on my computer?
You can log out now. It should be fine because Aaron still is the host, technically. I still don't think I took it over when I even logged in on this one.
Okay, so leave meeting, not end meeting. Control.
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you.
Sounds great. Assign a new host. Who's the host?
Boulder Town.
So this is a whole different video view.
It is. Daryl's computer is bigger.
My setting also has a blurred background, so it looks goofy.
Oh,
no, nice. But it's just where people are clear.
There's like a filter.
Gerald's computers are also just probably nicer. It is bigger,
okay,
so you
so
can see.
So, are we going to be able to go back to the document?
Mm-hmm.
Is Aaron going to show that?
No, I should have full control now to do all of it again. And Daryl already has it open because he's. Okay.
Okay. We are reconvening. It's 7:03. Attendance. So this is to encourage attendance. Members shall regularly attend commission meetings. A member who misses more than 3 regularly scheduled meetings in a calendar year may result in removal of the member from the commission. I don't know if 3 is the right number. 4, 5, how many meetings? Does it seem like you could miss before it becomes clear that maybe you're not paying attention to commission meetings?
Yeah, I think that's a good amount, 3 regularly scheduled ones, because then that doesn't really take into consideration special ones, which could come up when you weren't planning them. And then I feel like you should be less penalized for missing those.
And the other alternative, which it isn't clear here, is my own wife, if you notified someone you weren't going to be able to attend, that didn't count as sort of a miss. So if you do notify that you're unable to attend, then you're excused and it doesn't count as a missed meeting. So now if you've got some family
okay.
emergency or other thing. So we could clarify that here.
Yeah, I remember this is more than 3 regularly scheduled meetings
without
notice.
Notify.
Yeah. I mean, we could even make it less than 3 in that case. 2. That's
yeah.
pretty easy to call or text or.
And just say, I can't make it.
Can
right.
come. Maybe 1 or 2 allows for an emergency.
And I would assume it would be a
a letter to the town council that says so-and-so hasn't been attending meetings and hasn't been noticing.
Yeah.
And then the town council can decide.
Yeah.
I think 3 is a good number.
Even if they never say, okay.
And it says may result.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
It's not mandatory that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we should remember, we don't have a really deep bench in this town to get, you know, there's not a dozen people lined up outside waiting for this job. Maybe not.
Just wait, our meetings are gonna get so exciting that people, there will be.
Nick has a pretty good fight to get his role. There are a bunch of people.
Yeah, there are a lot of
people fled.
Okay, so electronic meetings, this was, John had taken a look at this, and there's Boulder Code 34.03, that actually talks about, how to hold electronic meetings. I know later in the document, Elena, there's a thing about the public participating, and yes, we probably should put that with merges in the section, so. But the reason this is red is because I put it in here, it wasn't in the version from a couple of weeks ago.
And to be clear, it seems from this section seven that it's optional to do the electronic meeting, not required, is that true?
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, they have to be recorded, but.
They don't have to be.
I mean, this all, I think a lot of this came about during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes, what we do right here, like Zoom, not required.
I think Tina's trying to get attention.
Tina, sorry.
Just going back to number six, I think, without, notifying the chair, that whole sentence, you know, the last sentence should be somehow, it doesn't read right to me. I mean, the last sentence is included. Anyway, am I seeing something that nobody else is?
Members who are aware they cannot attend a meeting shall notify the chair in advance of their inability to attend the meeting. It's a little redundant.
Right, it's redundant. I mean, it could be part of a member who misses more than 3 regular scheduled meetings without notifying the chair.
Yeah.
Anyway, and get rid of the last sentence. It's.
Oh, yeah.
In advance.
Hey, Nancy.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole rest of the.
Do you prefer to be notified in writing?
No, I mean it.
So if we take adverse action against a member of the commission, we're gonna want to have some record, some documentation. So anywhere I've seen this advanced notification, it's always been either in writing or in some way in which we have correspondence.
Because even a text message is writing, and so is an email.
So there's that call, isn't
it? Without notifying the chair. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You ask whether we should reference the Boulder Town Code.
I just feel like there's a bunch of times in here where we say, as set forth in the Boulder Town Code. And I mean, then the good thing about saying it that way is that then when we change the code, we don't have to update this document every time. The downside of it is if we're going to try to use this as guidelines for ourselves or for someone new, it's nice to be able to just find it easily. Like I quickly looked for this removal one, and granted, I didn't do a deep dive. I was doing something else, but I didn't find it immediately. And it's nice when the code's just there and you're like, oh, look at that.
So I will say if one of you wants to go through this document and put the appropriate code numbers in all of these places, you are welcome to do so. It was a bit of a, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
On my part.
Understood.
So, and it is, I mean, we know we're going to be changing our codes. We know there's a big mess. So my suggestion would be to leave it.
Skip it for now. Maybe next January I'll add them in. Won't you fix everything?
Okay, election of officers. So I think I got this right because I was trying to figure out when Tina was elected. So this in odd numbered calendar years. So that's what we just did.
That's what we just did, yeah.
So if everybody's okay with it, then we'll leave it. That's good. I'll go back in and change the red and the yellow later.
Can we go back up a tiny bit before we jump forward? So the 8th, I just want to read it one more time. Okay, I just want to make sure there's whether there are consequences. So, for example, Part B, refrain from repetition. So I was, you know, when we went with the subdivision code, I repeated some things a few times with purpose, however, because the town council ultimately agreed with a lot of things I said, and a lot of members of the public did as well. And I felt like we were completely ignoring certain things, and that's why I repeated myself. So I don't, if this is used as a vehicle to shut down discussion, or even a different or dissenting view, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I think the purpose of this is to brainstorm, to get lots of ideas and to get these things put out there that we can serve this town as best as we possibly can. And speaking from one voice or one refrain is not my goal. My goal is to serve the town as best as I possibly can. So I just want to be absolutely certain that we have the ability to offer differing opinions, because that's why we're here.
Yeah, so the intent here was efficiency. You know, try to move our meetings along. I have been on boards and councils where you were allowed to speak twice, and after that, the conversation moved on. So I didn't try not to be too strict in that manner, but just will attempt to refrain from repetition of speech making. So it wasn't directed at any individual, it was just, can we move our meetings and be efficient in our meetings?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I would be the first person to object if people use this as a way to crafting and form the comments in a particular way.
Any other thoughts on this?
Well, you just said if you were to add to the business item under discussion refrain from repetition in comments and speech making.
How's that?
Or
does that help?
Does that help, Daryl?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really have, I don't see any teeth behind it.
Yeah,
But if someone tries to act like there is teeth behind it, then I would be the first one to object.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, this whole document, like, does and doesn't have teeth, you know, like, it's just guidelines.
It's guidance. Yeah.
And I feel like with this one, I could go either way on it, because I think that whether it's in here or not, we're going to try to do that. At the end of the day, if I make the same exact comment 7 times and I'm basically just like filibustering the planning commission, at a certain point, Nancy's just gonna tell me we're moving on. So.
And I will use this rule to do that. All right. Everybody okay with, you know, we're gonna try to do our best here. Not make too many speeches or repeat ourselves too many times. All right, almost So I originally had commission meetings, the agenda, I'm down here under commission meetings, sorry. At least a day, I guess that's what state law says, that the agenda has to be provided at least a day in advance. So we didn't make it, it'll go up a little bit. There, okay, agendas. I think I had it 2 days and preferably four, so this complies with state law. And then the intent is that, you know, we don't have meeting after meeting after meeting where we talk about the same thing. So most topics we will discuss in one meeting, not necessarily vote on them, and then vote on them in a subsequent meeting. But the point is we'll have at least one meeting where we debate it before we take a vote. So it provides some guidance here. I mean, unless we have some emergency situation where there's an action, we have to take an action immediately. But the intent is we try to discuss and then vote at the next meeting. If it's a big topic, then we may have three meetings before we need to vote. But everybody okay? Eric, we'll move on. Regular meetings. This is to be decided whether we're meeting on the second or third Thursday of each month. So we'll fix that once we decide when we get to that agenda.
I want to just really fast, I want to make sure that as this has been said, it's been like bylaws or guidelines, but I want to make sure on that because my understanding is bylaws are not guidelines. They are to be governed and there is consequences for them and you do have to hold them. So that's kind of the point of putting in bylaws, because if you do, like if you don't do one of these, it's how you can get removed or have things. So I just want to make sure that, because I understood it a little bit differently and I've just heard it a couple times now that the bylaws are guideline. And so if anyone can like really make sure of the exact definition of what they are so that everyone understands them, how the state requires them, I think that's helpful, because making decisions thinking that these are guidelines but they actually are rules that have to be followed is very different as you're making these decisions. So I just want to make sure that if anyone can bring up that definition, because I understood them much differently and it's what's been told by like five counties. Like that's what we've been working on with five counties. So I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure that that's.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it is.
I don't have the answer. I mean, they're called rules.
I'm looking it up right now. I don't
know if we'll get that.
They're rules.
Moving this board section.
So Nancy, to Jessica's point about these being governing rules versus guidelines.
Yes.
If you're wondering about that. So the court's favorite way not to have to make a decision is to say that we violated our rules or the Administrative Procedure Act. So it'll be important for us if anybody challenges one of our decisions where we don't follow one of the rules. And that's just the easiest way not to have to decide a case when it's challenged, when one of our decisions is challenged. And it's a favorite way for a court to punt the ball, really. And so these are our governing rules, and we're going to be expected to follow them. If we don't, then we will potentially be overruled on appeal.
So as we go through this, and I guess thinking back on what we've already covered, is there anything that gives you heartburn that we couldn't do it? I mean, for me, they're pretty straightforward and they're fairly clear on things we've been doing. I mean, they try to clarify, like notifying the chair if you're not going to be at a meeting. I mean, that hasn't been the practice in the past, and it's been problematic because sometimes I don't know if there's going to be a quorum.
I did have a chance to review these in their entirety. I don't think there's anything truly overburdensome or unduly
Okay, well, that's good to hear, Michael.
Yeah, I think they're great.
Okay, let's move on because we are taking a lot of time on this and we have a lot of things on our agenda, so including some more training. Can you scroll down? Let's see. I'm down to subcommittees. So this was something we've talked about in the past, and I think the opportunity we saw at work with the PEDPAC, the opportunity to create subcommittees to focus on specific topics and given the list of things we have to do this year. I think this may be the only way we're going to get much of it done. But that we as a planning commission can talk about the need for a subcommittee, designate perhaps a commission member who will lead the effort, clarify what the mandate and the goals are, and they're off and running. So I want to make sure everybody's okay with this idea that we may be creating more subcommittees that will then report back to the commission on the work they've done. Okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if just to buy ourselves more wiggle room instead of saying shall or will in the last two sentences, change it to may. Where we understand that we will do that, but our feet are not held to the fire.
It seems like May is our friend in these situations.
Yeah. I don't know. Somehow to say each subcommittee may have a clear mandate.
I agree.
It's a little waffly to me.
I agree. It's extremely waffly with intent.
But that's the point, I guess.
Shall? No, that's no better. That's like will, huh?
May. Isn't that fun, Daryl?
Is it?
Each subcommittee.
So shall or will it?
I don't know. Shall have a clear mandate. I don't know. To me, saying may sort of undermines like, oh, well
the subcommittee. And what I'm saying is it's only the only purpose to change it to may is it doesn't bind us. So if we say shall or will or must, then we are our feet are to the fire and we have to do it. So if the circumstances are slightly different, we have no option. And then whatever work we do on the subcommittee can be attacked because, oh, we didn't follow your rules.
Well, except I think it would be pretty crazy for us to create subcommittees without clear mandates.
Well, I agree.
And
I agree. So we it'll say may, but we read it as shall or will. And it's just so we have the ability, so we're not painted into a corner because there's some unforeseen circumstances where, I don't know.
I don't know, I'm gonna vote against May, but let me hear what the rest of you, Daryl is for May.
I was gonna say maybe you could change it to encouraged, so these are encouraged to be led by a planning commission or can be, it's the other way. We wanna have May multiple times.
Yeah, it just
I feel the same way. Like I like May because it gives us just a little bit of wiggle room where it feels. I mean, I think that you write legal documents, and so I understand your reasoning. Like, if we do create subcommittees, that gives us a little bit of wiggle room as far as what they might be doing for us. You know, same thing, you know, might and may. I totally understand what you're saying.
Tina has her hand up.
Tina.
Having been on many committees, a mandate is actually very, very helpful. If you have a clear idea of what that committee is responsible for, it's really helpful for the committee and the person who's running the meetings. I would suggest maybe take the rest of it out, because those committees are going to be set up with the Planning Commission deciding that those committees are going to be set up. And if they have a clear mandate, it's helpful for us, and it's certainly helpful for the committee to actually have a clear idea of what we're actually asking them to do. As a whole Planning Commission, we need to have some kind of clarity in what we're asking a committee to do.
Yeah, that echoes my concern. So would the rest of you be okay if we said each subcommittee will have a clear mandate, period, and then we can...
That's the best.
So I guess my point is, if I wanted to attack this and I didn't like the results of the subcommittee, then I would look at, okay, what exactly does clear mandate mean? How do I define that? Can I attack the definition of that? Was it clear? Was it actually a mandate? What are the set of goals? Were they presented? What was the timeline? Are there any weaknesses in any of those things? And we can really help ourselves by knowing that, yes, that's our goals, that's our aspiration, but putting shall or will there locks us in, and it gives armament to somebody else who wants to attack us. That's why I have hesitation there.
Elena?
I have a thought, which is just that it feels like we're going back and forth about this one word, so I wonder about just like rephrasing the sentence entirely, and if that might just make everyone more happy, such as something more like, the Planning Commission will advise a subcommittee regarding goals and timeline for accomplishing their tasks. And then it's a little bit less of like a, we'll give you a clear mandate. It's like, you're going to get advice. We're not promising the quantity or quality.
We're not
or the advice. Or the you know, is encouraged to instead of will. That's an option.
Well, the Planning Commission is encouraged to advise the subcommittee.
Maybe the other option would be to say, we'll have a clear purpose. Because that's sort of what it is to me. I mean, not saying, well, we're going to have a subcommittee on housing. We need something a little clearer than that, that says, you know, our goal is to increase affordable housing in Boulder. That's the work of the subcommittee. So to not give it some clarity on what we expect the subcommittee to do seems to me to be, you know,
no.
Why would we create, we potentially create a whole lot of work for groups of people who, you know, don't want to be.
I agree 100%. It would be stupid to create a subcommittee and not give them any guidance or mandate. I agree 100%, absolutely. Just to not expose us to potential problems, that's why I'm encouraging that we soften the language. But we operate differently. So language is softer, but the way we approach it is much more disciplined and focused. And you know, we want to give clear guidelines and mandates. And, yeah.
Hey, Daryl, are you just mostly worried about the rules of statutory interpretation, the distinction between must, I'm sorry, the distinction between shall and may, as we understand that?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, so those two words have legal cognizance, legal meaning. Shall is a requirement that we must fulfill, and may is always aspirational. I know you guys know that, but if that's the concern, then just be aware of the, those are how those rules are interpreted.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what, I don't want to bind us to it. That's why I don't like shall or will.
Tina has her hand back up again.
I think whichever word we choose, we're going to treat it the same way. So
that is a very correct way of saying that.
But a court's not going to, you know, there is a big difference between shall and may, or will and may.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is we're going to treat it the same way. We mainly use the softer language, I suppose.
So to say each subcommittee may have a clear mandate, I mean, to me, that just sounds so
optional. No, Elena, say what you said. Elena, say what you just said before. Can you repeat what you just said? It was a totally different sentence. And it didn't have will or shall or whatever in it. So
yeah, I'm trying to think of what I said exactly. It was like
each committee, yeah.
Each subcommittee, you know, is advised by the Planning Commission regarding timeline and tasks and da da da. I guess I just wonder if we can. We just
advised by the planning commission.
With this sentence, so I wonder about just rephrasing it. Each subcommittee is advised by the planning commission.
I like advice.
On what the committee is supposed to research, or you know.
Yeah, the way the sentence was before, I took it from there, but now it's gone. But it's something in timeline regarding steps and timeline, or what was the word?
There were goals.
Goals, yeah. So it could be each subcommittee is advised by the planning commission, and on its mandate might seem too stringent too. So maybe like each subcommittee
goals.
Is advised by the planning commission regarding goals and timeline for completing those goals, tasks.
Each subcommittee is advised by the planning commission regarding its goals.
Regarding
its work.
Or tasks, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think timeline's a bad word to add as well. Just so
because then the committee knows how within what time they need to actually fulfill.
Yeah, we can safely, and then it's just a good reminder for us too, if we're looking at the subcommittee section, to be like, oh yeah, we should tell them to bring it back by April, because then we'll do something in May, and da da da.
Okay, so each committee is advised by the planning commission regarding its task and timelines. Does that work?
Yes.
So Mike thought the question, what do you think is a high likelihood that is advised by will be read by court as saying shall be advised by, what are the odds that is will be interpreted as shall instead of may?
What are the odds that a court is going to get involved in our subcommittees?
but Daryl's right that those words have legal like significance. The distinction between shall and may, a court will read that as an absolute requirement. I know the lesson here, Daryl. The conversations we've had between shall and may and the rules of statutory interpretation, but those two will be interpreted by a court differently, and they have legal like significance. And I know that's what you're talking about. I know you guys know that.
This doesn't say shall, will, or may.
It says yes.
It does say the subcommittee shall be led by planning members, but also include. But okay, that can't we all agree that that's pretty much what a subcommittee will be?
Yeah, I don't think
it would be a planning commissioner leading, or you know, being an app or. Being a liaison for that committee to the planning commission. Can we all agree that that's what that would be?
I don't think that's the sentence we're arguing about, Tina. I mean, at least we haven't gone back to
But we took shall and will out of the last sentence. It's just advice.
It will be led by a commission member. I mean, that's going to be the nature of our subcommittees.
Yeah.
So,
and with is here, even if we made that will or shall, this is less like before it was more like we'll give you clear mandates and blah, blah, blah. This is saying you're advised by the planning commission regarding its tasks and timelines. They wouldn't be created without that. They wouldn't be in existence to contest this if we gave them no tasks and timelines. I think.
Can you live with this, Daryl?
I agree. What my suggestion, it sounds goofy. It sounds really dorky to say it may, or you know, to soften it up that much. But
so your suggestion would be to say each subcommittee may be advised by the planning commission regarding its tasks and timelines.
Yeah, or maybe even just say is ideally advised, or you know, just to soften it up. And give us wiggle room so someone doesn't attack us on the sufficiency of our, how will they define the mandate, or now we're using tasks and timelines. So and on top of that, it saves a lot of money. If you spend, I don't know how many
Okay,
hours.
I'll agree with that. Can we just decide that we're gonna be put in May or something or whatever, ideally advise. Okay, great.
That work?
That's fine. Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
I do just want to make a quick point that when you guys are working through documents, I mean, you've been legally advised now by two attorneys of wording that should go into legal documents that is binding the town to be liable for things. And the advisement from the two attorneys is, I mean, I just want to make that very clear of Michael and what he said.
I mean, that's
and Daryl is not our attorney, but he is also advising on specific wording. And so from two attorneys to legally be giving advice on this document, especially on the side of the town and the legalities of things, I mean, I just want to make that point.
And I'm actually not providing legal advice.
I know, but your wording is.
John will stand up if we want to.
John has his hand up. Okay, John. I don't want to talk about this anymore, but
okay.
So make it brief.
Okay. Very briefly, let's think about a couple committees. One of the most successful ones we had was the pedestrian path committee. We didn't have a town council member on the committee. I mean, a planning commission member on the committee. Now that was probably actually created, what was at the town council's direction created by the planning commission. So I think that the option should be there. One of our longstanding committees in this town that doesn't have a specific mandate, for better or for worse, is the tree committee. It does its own thing. The town basic council basically delegated some responsibility to the parks committee and to the tree committee. It says, you're an ongoing committee, you take care of this for us. So I think the flexibility that Daryl's calling for is needed. I think everything could be said by the word that the chair has, with the advice of the commission, has the prerogative to create the committee. And in that prerogative, that is the direct, the mandate, the scope of work, the timeline, the deliverables, this all really falls within that word of the chair's prerogative.
Okay.
That's an interesting point.
I'm going to add. Also, Tina was on the Ped Path Committee, just for the record.
She was? Okay.
Tina was.
Okay. But what about the tree?
Correct.
The tree committee's different.
They don't have one, yeah. They're, the
that's
tree parks
different
don't.
Than what
but the only subcommittee we created did have one of us.
Okay.
It was
good.
Tina. Okay. I don't know what's going on. I was trying to type something in here and just lost the whole paragraph. But all right. I'm going to say subcommittee shall ideally be led by a commission member, but may also include members of the public. Each subcommittee is ideally advised by the planning commission regarding its task.
So, I'm sorry. Okay, the word shall has a very specific shall or will. Is yeah, if you look at statutory codes, criminal codes, whatever you want to look at, it's those are magic words. So.
I am saying that our subcommittees will be led by a commission member. I'm not making that an option. So, you know, John pointed out that yes, we had a subcommittee that didn't have a commission member, but these are subcommittees of the planning commission dealing with topics that
but there was a
were talking about in the planning commission. So I that's my preference. If you all don't want to be, you know, make it so that commission members guide these committees, well, then we can change this.
So,
that's the majority.
And the purpose in adding the flexibility is not to hinder us or to serve the town of Worth. The purpose in adding flexibility to the language is to give us wiggle room so that if anyone accidentally makes a mistake or if there something comes up where there's a committee that really doesn't demand a lot of input from the planning commission, you know, who knows? Yeah. Then our feet are not held to the fire and someone cannot use this as ammunition in a litigation, meaning anything. A litigator looks for whatever they can to stick to the wall. And if it sticks to the wall, that equals more money. Because there's a dozen hours or 100 hours that somebody spent on it fighting back and forth. So it costs the town more money to give someone else ammunition. So that's why I wanted to soften the language. Even though I know what our aspirations are, I know what we want to do, But here, we are binding ourselves to act in a particular way. It's really nice to have the flexibility, even if it sounds really weird when you read the statute, which is why most people don't enjoy reading statutes, because they're not meant to be read recreationally.
Okay, so just get rid of shall and just leave ideally. That sounds good to me.
You need a word, you need a verb.
May. Sorry.
May, I feel like that.
Yeah, it seems like what we're being advised to do here is to get rid of any sort of binding language. And so any words like shall or will, to be very cautious when you use it, when it's most important, we need to.
Yeah, well, again, for me, the intent was they'd be led by a commission member. Yeah. I mean, we would make that decision. And it's an education process for each of us to take on a topic and figure out what, you know, it is. So there was an intent there. I understand the difference between may and will and shall.
I like this.
It was intent, but I just changed it. Subcommittees may be led by a commission member and may also include members of the public.
We also can, when we get into these situations, do like unofficial votes in order to move on.
Yeah. Okay. We're moving on now.
Yeah. But the vote may have gone the other way, is all I'm saying. all right.
Okay. May call on the staff, yes.
So anything that has will, agenda, order, does the shall have to be in the...
I mean, we could clarify with Michael also. I'm not sure that he's saying that we can never say will or shall and have to always say may. I'm not sure that that's his direction, but.
Yeah, I don't think that's his direction, so.
And also to be clear, the state code that talks about planning commission and what we are supposed to do is, if you put it into a Word document, is 2 pages long and says shall 9 times. So it's not like the state's not doing this either. I understand there are places to exercise caution, but there are times where you just need to use
direction.
That word because
you
that's
give
what it
a
is.
Direction. The applicant. What's a different word than applicant? I mean, no, it's not always about applications.
Oh, right. That's what. Let me get to where you
what's
are.
A different word here?
I guess we're down at the bottom of page 4, section 3, public hearings.
And I just put this comment in this section a few times because it's written as if there's always an applicant, and we only some of the time have a public hearing with an applicant. Sometimes we have it on the subdivision code or a zoning code or something. So I guess my only suggestion would be that I don't think we want to make it its own section. So we could just every time say like, if applicable or something.
How about may, if appropriate? But we will invite members of the public to express their opinions.
What is another word that, like, you could do applicant / presenter, whoever created the document? Because I understand, there's sometimes an applicant, but like if you just drafted a new agenda and you needed to present that information.
I guess I think of the example of like the subdivision code, which doesn't really have a specific presenter. We all worked on it for months.
Let's just say the chair may invite the applicant if appropriate. And, you know, if there's not an applicant, the staff give the presentation or whatever.
Well, can you do the applicant / staff? I mean, it would probably be.
Well, there's two separate ones. Chair may call on the support staff to provide an overview and their recommendation. The chair may then invite the applicant to give a short presentation if appropriate.
an audible sigh from the crowd.
Very audible sigh.
So do we have
do we have any problems with what the way it's written now?
It's what
changed. Yeah, we changed it to say may, rather than will call, may call.
Eve, Chair Will, if there are no members of the public attending the meeting and we fail to invite members of the public to express comments, did we violate subpart E? So maybe change
sure,
that from
may.
Will to may.
Yeah.
And I agree, it sounds weird.
But it's not an option. I mean, it's a public
hearing.
Yeah,
we have to do
it. We have to do it. So, I mean, if the public's not there, you know, we could say invite members of the public if they're present to offer comments. But that's not optional. I can't say, oh, we're not going to hear from the public.
It's a public hearing.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to change this if applicable.
It's just the applicant thing again.
May not have to allow the right chairs or the project application code. I mean, we could put the topic at hand.
Yeah. I guess I just read it and saw a lot of stuff about applications. I'm like, it should either have its own section then or be more broad, I think. Because we're not always doing anything about applications.
Okay.
Following this discussion on the application.
All right. Any other comments on this?
I have one comment on the ethics part.
Okay. You put that on the screen.
Daryl, do you mind if I say something about this while we're still here though?
Yeah.
I could later, Nancy, go through and try to think of a better way to deal with this application thing, just because it seems like we're all kind of tired of this document now and moving on quickly, but it still says it a couple times and I think it's unclear, and I can try to deal with it later if we want. It could just have its own section or something and say, when dealing with an application, we'll follow these steps. And it might just separate them out and be easier. But it feels like
you
we're
mean
doing
it's a separate under public hearings. We have one time for this and one time for this.
I think we either take out the word application, which implies that all public hearings are on applications, or we give it its own section.
Well, it says it up under public hearings. If you go back up to the definition, Jessica. Any topic or application addressing a land use issue. So,
yeah, okay.
Providing the topic.
I mean, then we could just switch in I and J, we could just switch every time it says application to topic, because the topic could be an application.
Yeah, I did just change I to say members may continue to discuss the topic.
Yeah, but then right after that it says the next sentence is following this discussion on the application. I'm not trying to draw this out, I just think it should be consistent.
Okay, we can just take that out, following this discussion, a motion.
Though I guess that's not actually true. If we just do a code, the staff doesn't document it in writing with reasons for the decision.
They're supposed to.
With any code we vote yes or no on?
On a public hearing.
On a public hearing. So if it's documented in writing, what does that look like?
Minutes.
Yeah,
The public gets just to see it 10 days before the event, the hearing.
Right. No, but this is the decision we make at the hearing. So minutes, you think, would work for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pardon me for interrupting, but if you get to the trading tonight on CUPs, that discusses at length the adequate evidence of the public record. So maybe that's why trading is so important. So that will be addressed if you don't run out of time.
Right. Okay. Ethics. Scroll up, just please. Daryl, you have a comment in here.
So if we already have requirements elsewhere in the code, I don't know if we need to add anything here, especially if there are any subtle differences and we're adding something a higher level here. So for example, ex parte communications shall be shared. There's the word shall in the middle of that sentence. So that's just litigation fodder. In my opinion, so if there is any difference, and if there isn't any difference, then I say, why don't we just refer to whatever section of the code describes our ethics requirements? If I was coming after the town, I would ask for discovery on all communications, so every text message, every personal phone call, or someone you met at the post office, everything. I would ask for discovery on all of that. And it would be really fun to deal with.
Yeah, I had a question about that.
So
also.
We take this whole section out, section 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's already articulated elsewhere, then we can either say we're bound by these rules according to section whatever. But whatever we say in here that is above and beyond what our requirement is dangerous.
Okay. Any issue with what's up there, not what remains up there?
Yeah.
All right. Can we move on?
Yeah.
Call the stuff in it. Good enough. We have a few changes to make. I'll deal with the colors. We have to decide what when we're meeting, whether it's a second or third, and we'll put that in there. Thank you for muddling through this. Moving on to agenda item 11, the town council priorities for the planning commission. This is a bit of an eclectic list. And I guess what I'd like to do tonight is just, and I think John intends, as he said earlier, to go back to the town council, have more conversation on this as to what their priorities really are. I know for sure, can you make that any bigger, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just need to download it.
As he said, the general plan, and we're going to talk about that next in terms of what we actually want to do on that. The RSTR code, given that what was passed in December or January put a hold on any new RSTRs for 6 months, so it created a moratorium, which can only be 6 months, it puts a burden on us to try to rewrite the RSTR code within the next 6 months, hopefully within the next 2 months or so. So I think that he calls it RSDR replacement. So I think that's going to be, at least from my perspective, that's going to be a priority. But what do other people have reactions to this list? I don't think we have to make a big decision this month other than what are we going to focus on next month, which we may already know is the general plan and the RSDR code, but any other thoughts from anybody? Tina, I can't see you up there, so if you have, speak up if you have comments.
Okay. I'll just start then. I think that there were a lot of public input on the RSTR that we already have had through our hearings. It's possible that, you know, a committee could come up with all of the different issues that came up and that list them all so that the Planning Commission can have some kind of starting point for putting, you know, their heads around what might be appropriate changes and what might not. I think the staff can help with exactly where it stands as far as the areas, you know, the division of the different areas and how that's put together. You know, so I guess so that we all are thinking, you know, we put, as John said, we could have set it up so that, you know, we have all of the different opinions on the table before we put it together. And maybe it's just Nancy, you giving us a Google Doc that we can all put our comments in on.
Okay. I think when we get to this, the item 13 on our agenda, we have an RSTR code, some changes that the town council realized are needed when they had their discussion and we adopted the last changes. So it is a starting point. So let's look at that when we get there. And I think you're absolutely right, Tina, that we have a lot of comments that we could review, and we don't have to start from scratch as to, you know, what are some of the changes we need to see. So when we get to that on the item, and maybe we need to just move on here.
So obviously, can you just repeat what you asked of us? Because I didn't.
Well, I asked you whether you had any other sort of things that jump out at you that we should be focusing on, like right now. Next month,
okay.
A February meeting or
sorry.
And
okay.
I said I thought we wanted to try to think about the general plan and we want to do the RSTR code. So, but if others have other topics here that they think need some work right now, speak now.
I'm totally fine with what we're doing. I don't think that we should bring any other topics into it because we have two things, which is the RSTR. I don't know why it says replacement, basically. But I think we need to go through and find out what on the RSTR we're doing, and then the general plan. And I think that next month, I mean, it's just like, it'd be great if we could just have a two-hour meeting, just talk about two different things instead of five.
Yeah, and honestly, even just one would be cool, because the RSTR is the only thing with a deadline.
Exactly.
So it seems like getting that out of the way so we don't have to have that deadline looming. And I think we get ourselves into trouble when we try to do two big documents in one meeting that each want a multiple-hour discussion. So if it's correct to me, I would do RSTR on February unless we get any like applications or anything, just do that.
Yeah.
And then go through this list at some point and prioritize them and just check them off one by one.
Daryl?
I do agree with, those are both excellent comments. One thing to add, I don't know how to add this, where we should add it best, but dark skies. So as things grow, especially in commercial, I think the commercial aspects are probably the biggest threat of having a giant glowing whatever in the middle of town, and now all of a sudden you can't see the stars. So that's somewhere to squeeze that in.
We have a dark sky ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Let's move on because the next the next two topics relate to what we were just talking about. So the general plan. We talked about this at our last meeting, and my interpretation of what we talked about was there was a feeling that it's in pretty good shape. The data are limited, not limited, they're dated. The data are dated. because they're from an older census, so we don't really know population and housing, and I think some of the maps need updating. So I'd be inclined, here's a recommendation I would make, that we ask John to find some resources for us to do some data update and some mapping update. If that's a step, no, we're not going to take on the overall goals and objectives and those aspects of it, which we know will involve a lot of community interaction, which is good, but we need some basic data that makes the plan more accurate. So that would be my recommendation, that we ask for some resources to do those updates. So what do people think about that?
Sounds good to me.
I also second that.
I have a question, I guess, which is, and I apologize if I missed something in the past, are we required to update the general plan right now?
Yes.
No, we're not.
Every 5 years.
No, we're not. It's not.
Really?
No. It's not a requirement.
Yeah. I personally wouldn't prioritize it right now then. But if we're going to, then I'm fine with what you said.
I was going to say some of the useful data that would be helpful for the RSDR topic would be just knowing how many RSDRs there are, how many people are currently applying to have RSDRs, what the total revenue created from those RSDRs are, that's possible through the tax income. There's certain things I would be curious to explore, like adding a bed tax to create some additional income for our town.
So that's related to the RSTR code, not the general plan.
Oh, sorry.
Tina?
I have a comment. Okay, thank you. I think we should just, you know, kind of look at the general plan as far as whether it, what, so the general plan is set up so that whatever ordinances we put together are based on the general plan. So if, for instance, now we have for the housing, we have the lot size averaging, and we have some things in the housing, I think, that can be added that allows us to maybe improve on our housing ordinances that, or whatever we're doing with housing for the rest, you know. So there are, I think there's a few things that, I'm sorry, I had no time to really point them out. But again, if we have the document in that Google form, basically, I don't know what happened to my comments on the Google form for the first thing we were talking about, the bylaws. But if we can all make our comments, as Elena's was shown, in that document, maybe that would be a way of sharing ideas about what exactly changes that might be appropriate, minor changes, basically, on, like, the statistics are something that we're already working on in ordinance form that might need to have a little more validation by having them in the general plan, if that makes any sense.
Can I say something?
Yes.
So you made a comment as far as the general plan, and I agree with Tina. We have done a couple of things. In the general plan, it says at the very end when we updated it, when we looked at it. So if we're happy with what the general plan is, which overall I think we do have a really good general plan, but we do have a section that talks about clustering, and we're not doing that anymore, but we have added, as Tina said, one lot size averaging. So it shows that we have done something, you know, and I think that the last time we did it, we only put in, changed a few little things. And I remember one of them was as far as roads. We added a couple of the roads into the general plan to show that we were having problems with them, along with the roads that were already in there. We made just a few small changes. So I think even just a few small changes at this point, because for me, basically, I keep looking at this too, and we keep talking about zoning. Where is our zoning? Like, to me, that I'm not really sure, and I know it's a huge subject, but I think it's really important that we get zoning. We've been told over and over that we need to do something about zoning. And I was surprised that that didn't really come up that much as far as what we've done with the lot size averaging and how we create zones so that we update, you know. So that's what I was thinking.
So let's see if I can articulate this clearly given the hour. My understanding is one of the changes that was made when the general plan was last updated had to do with commercial zoning. There's no longer commercial zoning.
There's,
so
there never has been. We don't
have.
There's
never a zone that said
right, and
this
that's,
is commercial.
Exactly. But, so, exactly.
And there's sort of a problem to that, even as we think about our STRs, because in some ways those are commercial uses. So it needs more thought. And I feel like we know zoning, we want to do something with zoning. We also know that's a big endeavor. And so there's a timing thing for me, like this chicken egg. I mean, in theory, you know, the general plan is clean and clear and accurate and current. And from it, then we can say, well, this is what we do for zoning, or this is what we do for our STRs. But everything's a little messier than that, because we have made changes in some of our code, which we might want to change then in the general plan. We will continue to make some changes because we have to do them, like with the RSDR. So I feel like a basic understanding of some of the data, and maybe what we do is document the changes. Tina and Colleen talking about, well, we've done new codes that somehow should be reflected in our general plan. We get a list of these things that we know are the changes we need to make in the general plan. At the same time, that we try to get a more accurate picture of what's going on in Boulder. Where's the housing development? Where are the RSTRs? Are there new businesses that are home businesses? How much housing is occupied full time? What's the population? What's the demographics? I mean, that to me is sort of kind of a background requirement. Yes, like that book, Colleen.
Well,
but
it was
let's
the rural planning group.
That's
I mean,
current.
So develop the Utah Department of Work. I mean,
that's what I said. John
would,
wants to go
yeah.
find the money for us
yeah.
to do another
yeah.
one of those. That's what
it
I
didn't cost
I would
us anything
to
do that. Did it?
So
you weren't.
So for me, the general plan is it's important, and we have to fix it. But it's going
to
be an iterative process
to
fix it.
Yeah, add to it or update it.
I fully support. If we can get help, outside help and outside grants or anything, that would be wonderful. Because the more data we have at our fingertips, the better we can serve the people and we can communicate better with the town residents. I do agree with Elena that it can be a really big fish to fry. So yeah, if we can, whatever we can delegate, you'll never hear me complain about having more maps. I love maps. So yeah, the data and maps and all that will help us, especially help us with zoning, with a litany of issues. It will be wonderful.
Okay, so are we in agreement that we're going to ask John to go find some money for us to get a better picture of what's going on in Boulder?
It would be interesting to see how COVID affected the town too.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that affected the town.
I have a raise of hands that people think that's worth pursuing, and it's worth asking the Tina's raising her hand.
Can I, this is like a work request and the general plan actually isn't on it at all. So then is it more like you go to the town council?
We're not talking about that document anymore. We're talking about agenda item 12.
But I just meant, it's actually not even something that the town council assigned to the planning commission. So then shouldn't the planning commission say, hey, we feel this is really important. So not only do we actually think it should be added to our priorities list, but then also can you go get us money too? Because for them, they haven't even asked you to touch it. And so it doesn't even seem like something that should be on your list, like according to this of what they've asked, like.
Yeah, it seems like a really big project and we've got 12 other directives.
Right, although I will say, John in his TCPC report said the general plan is important. So,
yeah.
You know, this list, John, I hope you'll take this list back to the PC and say, you know, what do we really want the PC to do? Because this is not helpful.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mishmash of mashed potatoes and cheese.
It surprised me when I saw it, actually.
Okay. So, is there support amongst you all to ask for the pursuit of data to better understand what's going on in Boulder?
Not from me, but I think everybody else.
Okay.
But I would not prioritize the general plan with everything else we have going on right now.
Yeah.
Well, this is basic data for a lot of things, is the way I think about it.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's okay, I still think.
Okay, but I think Daryl supported it, Colleen supported it, Tina supported it, I support it, so. Yes. All right, RSTR code, agenda 13, did I say 13 before? We were talking about 12. So there's a training here. It's about 40 minutes long. We can do it now, or you
I can't.
I listened to it today.
Yeah, right. There's no way I can. Yeah,
it's important, it's on CUPs.
Yeah.
And so the whole RSTR process is tied in with the CUP process, for better or for worse. And I think understanding what the CUP process is important. So I will ask each of you to look at this, do this training between now and the next meeting. So we can have a more in-depth discussion at our next meeting about the RSTR code. Jessica, if you could pull up the RSTR, isn't there a, there's a document that the town council gave us that lists the problems with RSTRs. Yeah. So some of these came out of the work that was done. As Tina said, you know, there were a lot of issues raised and concerns identified. So I'd ask you to read this with more, in more depth, with the intent that we talk this through at our next meeting.
Can I ask where this is?
It's in the folder.
Oh,
it's the
look at it, says
RSTR TC issues.
Yeah, look, here's the folder. Here it is, right here.
I'll put it in the folder for the next meeting, so it's clear.
And the training link.
And the training link, yeah. The training link is actually in the agenda, too. So
it's on the agenda and it's on the website. And on the website, it's a link. So if you click on it, it'll take you right to
that. And you don't have to watch. I mean, if you watch, like, between 5 minutes and 42 minutes, you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Possible change, I'm moving on to agenda item 14.
Yes.
Possible change to the timing for our PC meetings. Town Council has requested that we consider meeting the third Thursday. Does anybody object to that? Does that work for anybody? Tina, I don't see, Tina, does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody have any issue with that? For me, February, I can't do the third Thursday in February. So if we decide to make this change, I'd ask that we start in March and that we keep the second Tuesday in February and then start in March. Is that work for folks.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, are you okay with the third Thursday? Okay.
Yeah.
Nick?
Yeah, we can do the third Thursday.
Third Thursday's okay. And Elena?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's decided we will move our PC meetings to the third Thursday of the month, starting in March of 2025. All right, so summarized meeting actions. We did yeoman's duty on the bylaws. I'll go through and clean them up. I'll put them in next meeting's folder so you can take a look at them if you know there's still outstanding issues, but the hope would be that we adopt them and pass them on as a resolution to the town council at our February meeting. We agreed that we would look at the town the data for the town, but we'd ask John to pursue grants such that we can better understand maps and data for the town that would support the update to the general plan if necessary, but also I think to provide background info for RSTRs for any of the subsequent discussions we have on commercial code and things like that. And we decided to change our meeting, and we're all going to review the RSTR code issues and do the training. Did I miss anything? Final public comments. Anybody online interested in making a comment? Okay, then I will entertain a motion.
And move to adjourn the meeting, so Elena.
I'll second it, Tina.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Unanimous. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for a good meeting.